Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Real News Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. I'm joined, as always, by Justin Cook. And today, actually, we have a special guest. We have Marcus Allen from truthin7minutes.com. Guys, how you doing tonight?
I'm awesome, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing good. I wasn't sure if you were definitely coming on. I'm really glad to see that you're here, man. That's really good. Really good.
Apparently, you didn't get my email, so that's okay. I'm glad I'm here, too.
Oh, okay. I got the first one. I didn't get the second one. Justin Cook's also here. Let me, Justin, if you want to say hey. Hi, this is Marcus Allen from Truth in 7 Minutes.
Hey, Brian. Hey, Marcus. I seen your site. Good stuff over there.
Thank you. What's up, Justin?
What's going on, man? How you doing tonight?
I've never had a bad day in my life, as they say, right?
Yeah, right.
That's awesome. Marcus is a very positive guy.
Absolutely.
Well, it's good, you know. You don't have to pay attention to the fear and everything, and you kind of just ignore it. I mean, you know, it works out well. Well, we were going to get into a few things tonight. We were going to, you know, real quickly go over that stupid Coney thing that I'm pretty much sure everybody's caught on to by now. Why don't we talk about that for a second, and then we'll get into some other stuff for sure. You know. Not to steal your thunder, Justin, but like you said, where were all these people 10 years ago? Where were all these people 10 years ago, you know, to watch a 9/11 documentary?
Seriously. You know, it's the like I said yesterday, you know, the whole thing about this is we have all these people that turn into faux activists as soon as something pulls at their heartstrings, whether it's real or fake or what. These people know what they're doing. This was a professional campaign. You know, coming down from the elite. This is just another thing to grab at Africa's resources and use this Joseph Kony as another Osama bin Laden type boogeyman pinup poster guy. You know, and that's all this is. Joseph Kony, for the most part, yes. Is he a bad guy if we know of? Yeah, he's terrible. But here's the deal. For one, he's not even in Uganda anymore. This is... The main stuff was over in 2006, I believe. So, I mean, it's like we're chasing another ghost. You know, what do you guys think about that?
Go ahead, Marcus.
Never heard of this person you referred to just until I looked it up on Google here. It looks like, is that Joseph Kony?
Yes. Yeah. It's a huge, it's gone so huge, 40 million views already. 60 million views already on YouTube. And I'm talking 3 or 4 days.
And what's this person accused of doing?
War crimes, you know, child soldiers, rape, genocide, all that in Uganda and I believe Sudan as well.
Here's the thing, Marcus. What they're trying to do is they're trying to get everybody to feel bad and to ask President Obama to go into Uganda. And, you know, one of the reasons, and we said this months and months and months ago, I felt one of the reasons they picked Obama, and I know this sounds so stupid, but this is how shallow some people are. One of the reasons I feel they picked Obama was because he's black and they knew they were going to go to Africa, park their asses there, and tap it for the resources. Now, there's actually a law that they have, because I was looking into this a little bit. There's actually a law with all the corporations in the United States that they cannot extract, like, minerals and stuff, like, out of the Congo conflict. They're not supposed to get stuff, materials from there to build their products or whatever they need to do. And right now, they're all lobbying to get Obama to end that, to like repeal that law, because they found a whole bunch of what did they find over there, Justin? Besides oil, was it gold and copper?
Yes.
and what else?
There's huge gold. You know, Africa's got everything pretty much. You know, under it's you know, it's not
developed. Of course it does. It's got tons of stuff still.
You know, diamonds, everything. It's just the gold deposit is something I wanted to look deeper into, as I believe they're going to switch to a gold standard soon. And obviously they want to get as many, you know, untapped gold reserves under their thumb. So, you know, I'm looking at that angle. I'm going to have more info on that next week, though. But I did see some interesting stuff. Nothing I want to get too into right now. But again, it's you know, exactly. What was Afghanistan for? Opium and oil. What was Iraq for? You know, and also to set up, you know, U.S. bases worldwide, a.k.a. New World Order, you know, or whatever you want to call it, One World Government. You know, stations pretty much, so they can attack anyone at any time and put the fear in people.
Yeah, so Marcus, it's pretty much, it's like a well-produced YouTube video, but it's like 30 minutes long, so it's like a mini documentary. And what it does is it follows around this kid named Jacob, and he tells these horror stories about what Joseph Kony did, and he cut his brother's throat and all this. So you have all these, you know, all these people sharing it on, and these people that are sharing it all over the internet, they probably couldn't even point to Uganda on a map.
No, nope. Oh, another thing about it too that was it was just insane is you know, the fact is when you actually hear the Ugandan people speak, there's a few of them out on video. You know, they mostly said that, you know, that a lot of the claims are not far fetched, but are just overblown, and the, you know, this thing is over with type thing. And also, but how many other despots do we have, you know, right now in Africa? Do you mean to tell me that this guy is the only one? You know, we've had the guy in Liberia a few years ago. You know, I'm sure there's 8 or 9 similar types over there that have taken advantage of, you know, of the pillaging that's going on that continent, and pretty much are you know, are agents of the shadow government and are over there to you know, grab resources and keep their people poor. You know, it's just insane though. It's just one of these things. It's just like the, you know, all the women that want to go and line up and go to these pink ribbon cancer parades. I mean, walkathons and everything. And the whole fact is that money just goes right back into eugenics. You know, and the fact is that cancer is pretty much,
yeah. Well,
you know,
we didn't even really bring Marcus up to speed on that part of it. What they're doing, Marcus, is they're asking for all types of donations, and obviously the money is not going to where they say it's all of it except for like maybe 20% of it's just being kept by the organization. They're calling it like invisible children or something.
Right.
I'm surprised that people haven't brought it up to you yet. It's all over the place, but it's only like 2 days old.
Yeah, even the establishment actually beforehand, the establishment reports. You know, like the watchdogs for charities reported that they used 31% of their of what came in for actually what it was supposed to be used for, and also they got 2 out of 4 stars. You know, and the main thing, we've seen it before. We saw it after the Haiti earthquake. I believe it was 70-something% of the money never got there, and when it does, it goes there, and you know, it doesn't help the people. It's just like, it's, I don't know, it's like everything else. But, you know, the whole Kony situation, it's sad because if all these people really mobilized and said, hey, you know, I realize that the political system is a joke. I realize that we're just getting screwed left and right here, literally, you know, and that, you know, keep buying into this stuff, keep buying into these false saviors and these, you know, hopes, whether it's Obama or Ron Paul or this one or that one, you know, if they just really came up and said, hey, I'm not going to pay taxes. I'm not going to cooperate anymore. You know, I just opt out. You know, I think that we would have a lot better. Think about it. If everyone showed up and parked their asses across the street from the polling stations next November and said, you know, I'm not voting because I have no confidence in these people or your system. And that's, you know. That's just my point.
Speaking about opting out, and you know, a lot of people think you can't. Marcus, why don't you tell the story real quick that you told on your show one day when I was there about your kid and how you just refused to have him get the vaccines, and he's still in school to this day, and it's not really that difficult. I thought that was a good story. If maybe you could bring that up.
Sure. Actually, the person who wrote the letter is standing right here. My wife was asked to. You know, she got a phone call from school, and they're like, you know, where's your son's vaccinations? And she's like, we don't believe in that. And they're like, okay, write a letter. And it was a one-sentence letter. She signed it. He's still in school. As simple as that. So when people think that, oh, it's against the law not to go to school without vaccinations, blah, 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 it's all scaremongering. Simple. Just say no.
And real quick, I just wanted to say, you know, and even if you are in one that does bother you, you know, more than once actually calls you or something, there's a million places you could find the ways to get out of it. But, you know, for the most part, like Marcus said, you probably don't even need to. You just simply refuse.
Refuse because they know they can't make you. I think, man, it's just they know what they're doing with the alternative media and everything, and they know that most people are just scared, and most people are just under the assumption that, you know, if they don't get their kid vaccinations, well, they're going to have a SWAT team kicking their door or something ridiculous, you know what I mean? And I'm not saying there aren't the cases where, you know, crazy things happen, but I think a lot of it is just fear-mongering. And that's something I also wanted to talk about with fear-mongering, not to get too off track from the Coney thing, but what do you guys think about – because what do you guys think about all the stories about the 30,000 drones flying over the U.S.? You guys think that's legit? Or you guys think that's just being floated out there just as another one of these fear tactics?
It's interesting you bring that up, Ryan, because I was at the Washington Reagan Airport yesterday. Mm-hmm. And at the chagrin of my family wondering where I was all that time, I took a trip and got some coffee. And I stopped by every TSA agent. You know, the ones with the no-fly list?
Yep.
And I asked every one of them, I said, so let me ask you a really odd question. I have a bunch of my friends who have a bet with me, and my bet is you've probably never stopped anyone for being on the no-fly list, right? You want to guess what every one of them said to me?
They all said no.
No.
Wow.
Now, this is Washington Reagan. I mean, literally, you can look out the window and see all points, you know, the Capitol building, the monument. You can see everything. We're supposedly the most secure building, by the way, the most secure building in Washington on the planet, we're also told, is the Pentagon, right? Mm. Did you know that the Pentagon literally looks over Ronald Reagan Airport? In fact, the entry point, allegedly, of whatever we were shown on TV on 9/11, is literally on the flight path of runway 33 of the Pentagon. In other words, where they show that hole, if you go literally fly above that and then jump over the Pentagon with a plane, you can land on runway 33 exactly. But anyway, getting back to the TSA thing, first of all, they didn't know how to answer my question because they were all like, they must have been brainwashed that if anyone asks about security, it's a terrorist, and you say you can't discuss it. But I use some pretty heavy-handed NLP, neuro-linguistic programming techniques on them to get them to admit that they've never seen one person show up in the computer as being on the no-fly list. So, Brian, to answer your question about 30,000 drones being in the air, I'm starting to really get the picture here that everything that we're told, I mean, from top to bottom, is a whopper of a lie.
I was really
surprised. I thought that they would say, yeah, we stopped a few people. Nope, not a single one said that they stopped one. Not a single one. In fact, I said, well, what would happen if you did stop them? What would you do? They didn't even know what they would do.
Yeah, I mean, these days with everything, I mean, you don't even know what to believe anymore. I mean, it's unbelievable. Everything really is just such a scripted, acted-out event for the most part. And it's like, right off the bat, when I hear something, I tend to not believe it before I believe it. And it really takes a lot to prove to me that something happened. I mean, this is just so much lies thrown at us all the time. And it's, you know, for people out there that are listening, guys, if you guys, listening to people like, you know, Russia Today, InfoWars, you know, all these other major alternative media outlets, they're not telling you the truth either. For most of the time, guys, it's not really that much more truth than the mainstream media. I mean, there's a little bit more to it, but there's so much spin on it. I wouldn't trust the story coming out of RT now at all. I mean, I the last few months, all I've seen from them is fear-mongering, especially like when the whole the UC Davis protest went down and that whole bullcrap pepper spraying thing. And I would, well, just the way that they plug that, and I didn't think that was legit at all.
You know what's funny? Did you see the pepper spray coming out?
That's what I'm saying. It looked like water. It didn't look like pepper spray.
Like they were getting spray painted.
Yes.
And the way they sat there without making a motion.
Exactly. I've been pepper sprayed before a few times with a much, much smaller stream. I mean, like a stream that would look like it would come out of a hairspray bottle, okay? And these guys got like fire hosed, and you're telling me they're not all crying and screaming? And no way, no way. That whole thing was fake. I mean, there's no doubt about it. That's why all these organizations that, you know, a lot of people think are on their side, like today, for instance, I ended up on the ACLU website, okay, because I was, I don't know how I got there from a link. That's where I ended up, and they were plugging this. They were, oh, we're sticking up for the students of UC Davis, and they have a lawsuit, and I'm just watching their videos, and I'm like, this is worse acting than the 9/11 people. I mean, this is awful. This is ridiculous.
Did you ever see the military training videos when they're pepper sprayed?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did. They're all crying. I mean, yeah.
They have snot pouring out of their nose.
Yeah, and these are tough guys. These aren't just some college kids.
Right. So it's all
fake.
You
know what I mean? Yeah,
it's totally,
it's absolutely
silly stage.
Absolutely ridiculous.
And this is probably why I haven't heard about this Joseph Kony. Because I do, anytime something major happens, I get blitzed with emails from people asking me, you know, what do I think about it? I haven't had one person email me about it. People are catching on. They know it's nonsense. If you get 40 million YouTube hits, it's not real. It's just, right. There's no way. If you get 5,000 hits on YouTube, it's probably not real. There's no way you're going to get that kind of traffic unless it's promoted to the top from the top.
And it absolutely is. Absolutely. It's such propaganda. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that most people actually caught on to this. I don't think too many of the I don't even think too many of the non-awake type of people, or whatever you want to call them, I don't even think they're really falling for it. I'm sure some of them will. I'm sure some of them are, but for the most part.
Well, the problem is that's a psychological trick. It's happening over there, so I'm not going to worry about it. And that's why you'll see that it's always happening over there. You know, it's happening in Africa. It's happening in Uganda. It's happening in the Netherlands. It's always over there, and that's a psychological trick to get people apathetic. That's a multitude of ways to get people to be apathetic. So that's why they do that. Mm-hmm. Very simple psychological trickery. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, most people are catching on to it. But we knew this was coming. And guys, you know, you knew that when they got rid of Bin Laden, or that, you know, whatever they did, they closed the fairy tale, or whatever happened to that story. There's no more Bin Laden, and they need a new boogeyman, and it's that simple. And you know what's going to happen is, you know, he's not in Uganda right now, so they're going to go in Uganda. Obviously, they're not going to find him. They're going to say, oh, he's over in this country. They're going to go over there, take their resources, not going to find him. They're going to be chasing this ghost around for however many years they think they can pull the lie off before too many people catch on, and then they'll finally supposedly kill him.
You know, it's funny, too, because you look at 9/11, it's like, yeah, you know, we know the real story about it, but how many people out there, people that don't even know the first or second track of the so-called truth movements, lies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people, I'm talking the real dummies out there that actually believe the lie when they hear on the mainstream media that Iran had something to do with 9/11. You know, it's just, it's like, really, like, you know, you stretched it with Afghanistan. Supposedly they were Saudi Arabia, and there wasn't, you know, no, I don't have to get into that. You everyone knows about that, but supposedly they were Saudi Arabian, and then we go and attack Afghanistan, and then they attack Iraq, and now they're trying to tie it into to Iran 10 years later. It's just
and nobody's ever raised a finger at Saudi Arabia, but supposedly 18 of the 19 hijackers were from there. I mean, come on, you know what I mean? But that's the thing, yeah. The people, if you try and tell people about, you know, the victims being fake and the whole thing being a media sideshow and all of that. And they haven't even got past the first or second layer of that onion. You know what I mean? They can't even get past that far. They're never going to comprehend it. You know what I mean?
No. Nope. It's
there's not that many of us out here. I'm telling you. There's not that many of us, dude. There's really not.
But that's okay. You know, I can understand why you're going to be frustrated by that, but that's okay. Your life is so much, if you think about what you've learned, Brian, since I've known you, I mean, isn't your life infinitely better than it was just 6 months ago?
Yeah, I would say so. I can be a lot more positive about things because I know.
Isn't it a relief
knowing
that everything that you've been told, which is scary scenarios, and that the world is full of boogie people, and that you know all that kind of stuff is just nonsense. You can go through. You can go actually live your life like you should. Like this story about again this Ugandan situation. I don't want to know about it because it's most likely to be faked. So why would I get in a tizzy about it? So when you know that literally, I mean, their track record for telling us the truth is horrible. So even if something is true, though, that means 999 other times it probably isn't true.
Yeah,
so
it's
just
like
ignore
a little boy
it all.
And Clyde Wolf by that time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, just exactly. So, you know, if people want to close their ears to this, hey, listen, someone's got to flip my hamburger. If someone wants to be a slave and fall for all this nonsense and continue to slave away and flip the hamburger for me, fine. Someone's got to flip my hamburger. And I know that sounds horrible, but that's the reality. The reality is people love what they have. They don't think anything is wrong. We know stuff is wrong. We know stuff is wrong. We really don't know exactly what it is, and that's probably why we're here. We're trying to figure out what's really going on. But if they want to live in La La Land, I'm totally cool with that. I didn't used to be cool with that. I can't believe that people can't see the obvious. But at this point, if they still don't see it, that's their problem. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, well, I'm just not fully at that point yet, but you're probably more tired of it than I am.
I've lost my patience, no doubt.
Yeah, exactly.
Marcus, I agree with you on one point, but on the other hand, it's like, you know, obviously, I'm sure you've been at this a long time. I've been at it a long time as well. You know, like you said, you lose your patience with the fact that these people will not just simply just go and check out something that doesn't, just because they've been taught, you know, another way that they refuse to look at it. You know, it's just the brainwashing and buzzwords that just throw them off right away. I don't know. It's really upsetting for one to see that people can't even break out of, you know, the mainstream mold into seeing that the stuff is wrong. And then even worse when the people that claim to be awake, refuse to see things that, you know, refuse to even look into things that are outside of their paradigm. You know, and it's just, I don't know. At this point, I really have no patience for a lot of people out there. You know, and I'm trying to, but I don't know.
Here's the problem, though. This is very hard for people to fathom. I had a group of there were four of us back in 2006 that picked up the phone and discussed these matters. Mm-hmm. Two of the four people on the phone were agents, and I thought they were people like you and me. Mm-hmm. So the criminals who run things have unlimited, they print the money, okay? So they have unlimited funding to put out people to pretend, known as controlled opposition, that they're on our side, and maybe the reason why you're having such a tough time convincing these people to wake up and see the real truth is because they're not real to begin with. So why would you frustrate yourself going against the tide like that, knowing that the odds of someone being real anyway is very slim to begin with? I mean, two of the four people in my group were agents. They admitted this, too.
Well, one I even told me my time to people I actually know, though. You know what I mean?
Well, I thought I knew one of the people, and yeah. he admit working for Fort Bragg, which is where a lot of these agents come from. He told me that. I couldn't believe it.
It's crazy. There's a ton of them. I mean, they're everywhere. And, you know,
everywhere.
We talk about this all the time, and obviously we're going to talk about it some tonight, too. And I'm glad you're here for that part because, you know, I feel that you have a lot of knowledge in this area. You know, the controlled opposition is everywhere, guys. I mean, almost every single person that you know by name, like, has any sort of fame in the truth movement. I mean, I know it sounds like just a bad stereotype to throw it up there, and I'm just kind of putting it all, grouping it all together. But really, I mean, it's almost all controlled. I mean, it's got to be like 95% of them. And here's the thing is if it's hard to tell, but here's what you got to do, guys. You just because they give you some truth, once you hear something that sounds really off and there's a problem with it, don't just put it aside because they told you eight other things that were true. There's a reason there's a problem with it, and it's not clicking in your head. And look into that, and look into what these people's intentions are.
Right. They have to tell you. They have to tell you some truth because then you would listen to them to begin.
Exactly. You would never trust them, and the best way to let the truth out is to let it out yourself and then give your own twist. Sorry, Justin. Go ahead.
No. I was interrupting you, but I was another thing I wanted to say actually is the fact that you know, when they put out, say you go to Infowars.com, right, and you're on the page and you see nothing but stories about a certain issue, then you could be guaranteed that there's another issue on the back burner that they're not talking about. And, you know, say they have TSA all over the thing, and in real life, you know, that whole thing is being covered even on the mainstream media, but yet in the background they're pushing through something that is going to, you know, last year the S-510 bill, which ended up, you know, taking away all, you know, you know, farm,
bill, right?
Small farmers, you know, rights and whatnot. You know, it just goes to show there's always something that they're pushing, and that's what you can count on the big names to do, is and to blow up stuff and to really, you know, add these crazy claims to it. And in reality, it's you know, there's other stuff going on that we should be more concerned about. You know,
I think a part of it, and maybe I could be wrong, but I think one of the strategies they do also is when they attach all these lies to it and twist the story and add all this other fear and outrageous stuff to it, they do that. That way, when people like you that are paying attention kind of go and try and approach other people and bring up these issues, you sound like a maniac because you're spitting all this nonsense at the end of it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Somewhat. What do you mean by it?
It's hard to explain, but let's say there's a situation that you learn and say you learn it on InfoWars, okay, and it's a real situation that's going down, but then Alex puts a crazy spin on it, like, you know, the genetically modified monsters are going to eat you or something. I mean, I've heard him say crazy things. Okay, like, so he puts one of these crazy things on it, and then when you try and bring up this real issue to somebody, hey, look at this and this and that, but then you come out with this other thing that's attached to it, they're just like, what are you talking about? And they don't even want to hear any of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's like they set you up to discredit yourself by attaching mm-hmm. the crazy disinfo to it. I don't know. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. Mm-hmm. Did you know that Alex Jones's family are Freemasons? Did you know that?
Oh, of course. His grandfather was one of the founders of the biggest lodge in Texas. Yet as far as Jones goes, I believe he's also a product of the Sheen family, you know, Jesuits. And then the rest of his stuff is from the Council for National Policy and the John Birch Society. I think mm-hmm. those are the main groups that pretty much run Alex. I
find it's funny that Alex Jones is now flipping and now he's talking about Freemasons and Knights Templars as though it's like some foreign thing to him. Because he has to be a Freemason. I'd bet my life on it.
Oh, he
Isn't
definitely
it on his father's gravestone or something? Isn't there a Masonic symbol or something like that?
Yeah, Anson Jones. That's what.
Right.
Was it Justin? Is that your name, Justin?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what Justin was talking about. Mm-hmm.
Yep, that was his grandfather, who was the biggest, started one of the biggest Freemason lodges in Texas, right?
First Grand Master of Texas in 1837.
There you go.
Wow. So, well, you know what? I wanted to kind of get into something else that I had asked you about, and while we're talking about controlled opposition, why don't you tell us what you know about Nico? Because we were kind of wondering about that, and being that he was one of the first people that was, from what I heard, he was one of the first people talking about TV fakery on 9/11, so he'd be one of the last people you would suspect. But of course, they have to have people for guys like us to further twist the truth. What do you know about that?
Well, actually, that's a lie too, because Gerard Holmgren was the first person that I know of who talked about TV fakery. Gerard Holmgren.
Right.
It could be. I just kind of heard it through the grapevine. It wasn't like...
Who allegedly died, by the way. I'm not so sure that's true. Nico Haupt is an actor. Nico Haupt is an actor in a movie called We All Live or something like that. It's about how there's like 50-something cameras in a house and it's a reality show and it's live. Kind of like a New Age Truman Show, so to speak. Nico Haupt has a fake German accent. He's actually from Kentucky.
Really?
If you look into Haupt Industries in Kentucky, his family runs Haupt Industries. Good luck trying to track that down nowadays. I was able to track that down about 3 years ago, and they have totally whitewashed that. And, yeah, he's from Indiana, of all places. And, you know, it's all an act. These are actors. These people who are controlled opposition are actors.
Right.
And a lot of people have a problem, you know, wrapping their brain around that. They just can't believe it. But, you know, Nico Haupt was allegedly homeless and didn't make any money. Oh, by the way, he also worked for, what's the name of company? It was a CIA shell company. In fact, his boss, admitted that it wasn't even a company.
Wow. So quick question. So do you think the big reason for him was to come out and discredit anybody that was looking into any of the CGI stuff? Do you believe that was the thing to throw him out there as kind of a guy that's, you know, telling a good portion of the truth, but in reality he's leaving out, he's acting like a, you know, like COINTELPRO, and he's an actor on the side? Do you think that would be a good estimate of that, or what?
Oh, no doubt. And I don't think he puts out any good information. I think he puts out straw man arguments, look into future combat system. You know, look over here, look over there, look over there. And yeah, they might be nefarious organizations, but he's not telling you the real place to look at, which is, does he ever talk about the media? Does he ever talk about that the media did 9/11?
Right. Okay, no. See, I found the movie you're talking about. We Live in Public, it's called, 2009.
Right, right. Yeah. He's listed in the IMDb database as an actor.
Right. There's also a German film that he did in 2003. That could be fake, though.
What about that website, Marcus? Didn't you say he had a fake website with no traffic set up?
Yeah, Josh. His boss's name was Josh. If you give me 1 second, I could probably find it for you.
Yeah, sure. See, Nico's somebody that I've really never looked into his stuff. I think I know what he looks like, and that's about it. I just never got to any of his information, so I don't really know much about him.
See, my thing.
His name is Josh Harris, right. And the name of his company was Pseudo, PSEUDO.com. So if you go to Pseudo.com. And you do an Alexa search on that. Actually, did I spell it right? Let's see. PSEUDO. I think it's spelled that way. Anyway, when you go to that website, it gets zero traffic. And if you type in Josh Harris fake company into Google, here we go. You go to Wikipedia, and you go to Pseudo.com, and I'll read it to you. Pseudo.com was a website for live audio and video webcasting. Founded in late 1993, its parent company, Pseudo Programs, Inc., filed for bankruptcy, blah, blah, blah. Founder Josh Harris claims in 2008 that Pseudo was a fake company and the linchpin of a long-form piece of conceptual art. Now, Josh Harris, by the way, is also the founder of Jupiter Research, which is a huge company. Huge company.
Wow.
So people who worked with Nico have reported on different forums that they've never seen him put out a millisecond of video while working at this video company.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. You're right. If he's working in all this stuff, why wouldn't he be taking advantage of that and you know, and exposing this stuff, you know, making his own version of you know, whatever, loose change, clues, whatever, you know, type thing.
And what he also did is he was in bed with this guy nicknamed Ozzy Ben Oswald, and Ozzy Ben Oswald would take every.
Oh, you don't even know. I ran into an issue with him the other day, Marcus. Go ahead.
He would take every No Plane video, and he would insert. See, back in the day with YouTube, if you wanted to insert a picture in a YouTube video that would show up as a tease so that people would see what the video looked like, you would always make it right down the center of the video. So if the video was 5 minutes long, you'd make it you know, two minutes and 30 seconds. And they would always insert in the fake plane videos really disgusting porn images. I mean, for me to say disgusting, I don't get embarrassed by anything. I mean, it was really raunchy stuff. And they would use the excuse, oh, we're trying to get the young people to look at the no plane stuff. That's bullshit.
Oh, no, by the way, trying to discredit it.
Am I allowed to swear on here?
Yeah, that's fine. Stuff like that's fine.
That's nonsense. It's to discredit the videos. So that's Nico Haupt too. So, and of course, like all the fakes, I've asked Nico Haupt if we can get together, and he never wanted to get together. In fact, he would get very agitated with me anytime I'd ask very simple questions. So I just knew right off the bat there was a problem with the guy, and when you look into him, you can see what the problem is.
I want to speak on something for a second while you mentioned Ozzy Ben Oswald and how he tried to discredit – he tried to totally discredit the 9/11 victim research on me the other day. You know what this guy did, Marcus? I don't even know this guy. I just heard his name in the circles and whatnot. And here's what happened. Me and Justin were having a conversation on Facebook about the Ohio shootings and all that, and I had brought up the fact that one of the victims had almost the same exact name as a victim in a school shooting like 3 years ago in Illinois, except for like two letters were different. So Ozzy Ben Oswald decided to take it upon himself and tag me and Justin in a post and say he heard us talking about this. He starts comparing all these pictures of all these different victims. Now, this isn't even the big part. He starts comparing all these pictures of all these different victims now about these shootings, and it was kind of ridiculous, first of all. Then, the next day, okay, I had friend requested him or whatever just to see what he was about, and I heard he was, you know, somebody that looked into the smoke loops on 9/11 and all this stuff, so I wanted to see if he had any good stuff. So I had friend requested him, and my cousin Nicole, I shouldn't even put her name up, but one of my cousins was made a comment on something that I said about the 9/11 being fake and the victims being fake and from a database and all this, and she comes on and says, no, they weren't, and we know somebody that died in 9/11. Okay, so first thing I do, I ask who, you know what I mean? And you get the same answer you always get. They never come back with a name. And it was oh, they were really good friends of the family. And then when I got further down along, it was somebody that her husband supposedly knew. But she wasn't
Is a cousin of yours?
Yeah, she was just going along with what her husband said, because her husband said that he was friends with somebody that died there. Okay, so Ozzy Ben Oswald saw this, and he starts taking my cousin, takes her picture, starts putting it all over Facebook next to all these 9/11 victims, starts making all these comparisons, and I'm like, guy, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? And he's just like, anybody that doesn't believe that the 9/11 victims were fake is COINTELPRO and part of any. Are you saying there's like 300 million people that don't understand the story, even when you tell it to them? So
I don't understand. He's accusing you of something that's. You agree that they're fake, right?
Yeah, he's accusing my cousin as being one of the people that played a victim because she was disagreeing with my stance on 9/11.
I gotcha. this is another of umpteen reasons why you shouldn't do Facebook to begin with.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right.
I mean, my wife went to the beach, and she doesn't do Facebook. And the next Monday when she came back, she's a school teacher. Two of her school teacher friends said, hey, I saw you at the beach. And she was like freaked out. She's like, what are you talking about? And they're like, yeah, I saw you in the beach. I saw you in Facebook. So obviously someone took a picture of my wife and put it up on their Facebook account, and they were able to figure that out through Facebook that it was my wife. I mean, it's just I can go on and on and on with the stories on why it's really bad to do anything with Facebook.
Yeah. Oh no! I did a whole blog post about it that it got picked up by a couple places too. A lot of people read it. Facebook, okay, was really started by a guy named Did you ever see the movie The Social Network?
Brian, I'm proud to say I haven't paid for a movie in 13 years.
Okay.
So no, I have not seen a movie.
I don't pay for movies either usually. So they have this movie, The Social Network, to basically back up their whole bullcrap story about Facebook. That's what it is. It wasn't really Mark Zuckerberg in a dorm room, okay? Mm-hmm. In the movie, they tell you that this guy, Peter Thiel, the same guy that is Ron Paul's biggest financer, supposedly.
Bilderberger.
Peter Thiel. Yeah, Bilderberger. Peter Thiel, okay? He supposedly gives Mark Zuckerberg $500,000 to get Facebook startup money, and they move out to California. Now, they make a big, huge deal about this because that's the money they needed to start. It was a whole lot of money, and they actually gave this guy, Peter Thiel, 7% of the company, okay? So $500,000 bought him 7% of the company. But in reality, what really happened is in 2003, the CIA had a another project coming out. I think it was called like the Information Awareness Office or something. They were working on a data mining project, okay, to use the internet to get all types of information about people, who they're with, where they're going, what they're doing, what they like, all this stuff that Facebook obviously provides. And they what basically happened is the guy that ran that program, his name is James Breyer, he approached Mark Zuckerberg and he gave him $12.7 million. And there's no mention of it anywhere. He's not listed on Facebook as one of the people that started it. He's not a part owner of the company. Well, why is that? He gave almost $13 million. That's like 25 times greater than that other investment. It's because he was a product of the CIA. The CIA runs Facebook, and they have ties to DARPA too. They have three other people that came from DARPA that came and they worked on this information awareness office or whatever, and they funded Facebook, and everybody keeps it on the hush hush. But Marcus, I'm sure you could tell people about the way it tracks people. I mean, you know about internet marketing and all that, and you know how Facebook is like it tracks everywhere you go, even when you're on a site that you know. Even if you're not a Facebook member, if a site has like a Facebook like button or anything like that, it's checking where you go, where you came from, all this other nonsense.
Well, yeah, and that gets into competition. Everyone is under the impression that we live in a competitive world. And I mean, I knew from the very beginning that was a lie. I mean, I had friends who lived across the boundaries when I went to high school. You know, one went to Lower Merion and I went to Radnor, and when it was football time, there was this big, you know, huge football game, and it was always about slaughtering, you know, Lower Merion's football team. I'm like, why are we talking about, like, literally killing people, but yet they're our neighbors? You know, what's up with that? And then, of course, we've got, you know, American military bases in Cuba, although we've been told all of our lives that, you know, Cuba is a sworn enemy to the states, but we have Guantanamo Bay there. And then we're told that China is the sworn enemy of the states, yet all of our jobs are in China, and the list just goes on and on. And that includes Facebook. If you look at who was on the board of directors of Apple Computer, his name was Eric Schmidt. Eric Schmidt was the CEO of Google, yet he's on the board of Apple Computers. And then I found out, and I'm like, wow, this is like, I think we're being told a lie about this competition thing. Then I found out that the Ford Windstar is made in a Nissan plant. Then I found out that the Toyota Corolla is also the Chevy Prism. And then I was telling some people about this. So they're like, oh, yeah, Mazda makes this American car. It's like, holy crap, you know what? We're being told another lie about this competitive stuff. So what's this have to do with Facebook? If you go right now, if you have a Gmail account, mm-hmm. and you go log into Gmail, and if you want to see something really cool, it's cool and freaky at the same time. What you should do is email an email to yourself, and in the subject line, put something like, you know, hotels in Qatar, Q-A-T-A-R, right? The email will come back. You go to open the email up, and on the right-hand side, you'll see ads mm-hmm. for hotels in Qatar. Now, some people might not be freaked out about that. That's, you know, targeting. But get this.
Yeah, go ahead.
You can talk about, you can be on the phone with someone, a landline phone, and saying, hey, Gramps, I can't wait to take a trip to Qatar. And if you go look on your Facebook account, you'll actually see ads for hotels in Qatar.
I tried to tell people this, man. I tried to tell them this, Marcus. I'm so glad you said this. I have been telling people lately that I swear to God, I'm thinking about something and I might be talking about it. And I'm texting on my Google phone, my Android. It's auto-suggesting the next word. That's, and it's not even a word that would normally go in that sentence. It keeps happening to me. People think I'm crazy, dude.
Nope, that you're not crazy at all. That's algorithms they worked out, and they have every person. That's what they've been doing the last few years, getting every. That's why they wanted you to list all your stuff that you like, everything that you're into, political, religious.
Yeah, it's everything's advertising. Google makes 65 billion last year on advertising, and they use people's mics to listen for dogs bark, and then they'll hit you with a dog food ad. Go ahead.
That's insane, right there. That's another whole thing. But yeah. One day. I don't know what we were talking about, something stupid. It was like pro wrestling, and I was just messing with it. I just said, watch, we're gonna see Hulk Hogan's name, next on the right for Facebook, and what do we see? Next one, Hulk Hogan. Then in the next, the other ad was for WWE, and then I just brought up to something totally different. I was like, what about Lady Gaga? Next thing, Lady Gaga's up there in the right. It's just insane, as far as how they. Go and take it just to target people for whatever it is that they want to push on you. And this is another thing for as far as like activism goes and stuff. It's another way for them to suggest, hey, why don't you check out Russia Today, or why don't you check out InfoWars or whatever else, and it's totally a way to where your privacy is invaded no matter what, but it just takes it another step into the matrix with this whole thing.
But then it goes another step beyond that. I was in the supermarket with my wife, and I saw a girl I used to hang out with. Her name is Donna Marie. And on the cover of this local magazine was this idea that she started a new dog salon. And so then I went to Facebook to see if I could see what she looked like. And get this. Now, remember, I don't do Facebook. I have no friends. I have a Facebook account only because I was tricked into doing it. I'm a marketing guy, and one of my subscribers is like 6 years ago saying, you got to do this Facebook thing. So he's my only friend on Facebook, and since then I have not really touched it. So I go to look her up. I then go to LinkedIn. LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And her picture is in the LinkedIn profile section. Now, how in the world is Facebook also LinkedIn? I did nothing else to make it so that Donna Marie's picture also showed up in LinkedIn. I don't use LinkedIn either. I was using LinkedIn for something else. I actually got someone who sent me this LinkedIn thing from my email, and then I clicked on it, and that's where it got there. Sure enough, there's Donna Marie's picture. See, this idea that Facebook is a competitor to Twitter, is a competitor to Google, competitor to Apple, is absolute a whopper of a lie. It's a whopper of a lie.
It's all a lie?
It's all a lie, man.
One huge corporation for each major thing like that.
Well, every single
soda, Coke, and Pepsi is probably the same too.
I think that might not be so much the case, but I could tell you that every single tablet computer mm-hmm. is made by the same company mm-hmm. in Japan.
So even the Apple ones and the Droid ones, the competition.
The same company.
Mm-hmm. I believe that absolutely.
So this idea that we have competition is, I think, as soon as you understand a couple things in life, things get quickly, you quickly start to connect the dots. Number one, that the media is a front company for the military, and their job is to lie to you, is to cover up crimes. So as soon as you get that, as soon as you understand that, literally every single, I'm talking even on a local level, every single thing in a TV, on TV, radio, newsprint, cable, public access, even. Public access is actually worse than, like, Alex Jones. We can get into that. Even trade magazines is pure propaganda. So as soon as you eliminate that, including books, by the way, I know that's really hard for people to find, including music. Music is incredible propaganda.
Oh, big time. We talked about that on the last show a lot, how much music is controlled, and it doesn't really matter about your talent. It's about who they could push a message out through.
Right. So as soon as you get rid of that bucket, and then once you understand that the second bucket is once you understand that there is no such thing as competition, life just, the dots connect. And life becomes so much easier. I can't tell you how those are the two most important things. Those are the two most important concepts to get. Forget talking about UFOs and conspiracies and what's happening in Uganda and all that. That's what they want us to talk about. We call that candy. That's truth candy. And I'm sick of that candy. I don't talk about that stuff anymore. I talk about solutions. I talk about where do we go from here. And I used to talk about how we can help lots of people, and I no longer do that, as we discussed before.
Yeah. I'm sure I'll be at that point sometime too, but you know, I don't try very far, very quick,
Brian. So I would be patient. You've done a great, from the little bit of, that I know about you, and I mean, how long you been looking into this stuff for?
I've only been awake for a year and a half, not even.
Oh my God! I mean, I've been awake since I was 11, and I'm 45 today. So you've learned an immense amount in a very short amount of time. I'd be very happy about that. And it's like, you know, this truth stuff is like mourning a death. You literally go through dozens of different feelings, guilt, shame.
It's been a roller coaster ride for me, man, up and down, up and down. It's been from one thing to the next so fast. It's unbelievable. I don't know how it took me so long, man. I just, you know what happened, honestly, is I just totally by accident, I was watching a 9/11 movie called World Trade Center. Propaganda, big time propaganda. Nicolas Cage is a fireman. They're stuck under the rubble. All this nonsense to back up the lies. And after that, I wanted to see more, and just to see more about, learn about 9/11. But I had still believed the bullcrap story. And as soon as I put in 9/11 on Netflix, Loose Change and American Coup was the first thing that came up. And since the day I watched that, everything's been different. But I see some people that are just stuck in the same spot for so long. It's like they don't get anything. I don't understand. There's some people that I know that have been in the truth movement for 3 or 4 years, and I don't expect everybody to understand the 9/11 thing. I mean, that's getting real deep, and I don't, like, you know, look down on somebody when they don't get that. But there's some people that just can't even fathom the whole controlled opposition thing. They just can't fathom that their heroes might be put there for them to worship. You know,
I would be looking over your shoulder a little bit. At the high risk of sounding paranoid, I was at my favorite diner. I don't know if you heard this story. And to make a long story short, I was showing a video clip of how they were, actors in Syria were pretending to be dead. You know, all that violence supposedly in Syria.
Yeah.
They were pretending to be dead, and I had video showing them dusting themselves off and laughing about them pretending to be dead. And this was played on Russia Today and all the rest of it. So it was really happening. And I showed this to a waitress, and to make a long story short, I had a waitress that just got hired there who came up to me, and I hear this all the time, and she basically said, why is everything in your world fake? My uncle died on 9/11. Now, the odds of were supposedly 2,750 people died in 9/11. The odds of me running into everyone whose uncle died in 9/11 are astronomically impossible. I don't care about that 6 degrees of separation BS. There's no, I mean, I've literally met, I mean, even my wife's, she had a student teacher. She told my wife that she knew five people who died in 9/11.
Wow.
And, you know, at first I was like, wow. What bad luck we have knowing all these people who died on 9/11, and then we're figuring it out.
Marcus, do you live on the East Coast or the Midwest, or because if you don't live in the East Coast, that'd be really crazy.
I live exactly in the middle of what happened to 9/11. I lived in Westchester, Pennsylvania, but it doesn't matter. It is, even if 2,750 people died on 9/11, it is statistically impossible for us to know so many people who just come out of the blue and tell us that their uncles have died on 9/11. It's always an uncle, by the way.
Yeah, oh yeah, because it's never a direct family member. It's always an uncle. Yep.
Right.
Or a cousin.
So you know that they're, you know, I actually had one of my listeners say, Mark, you do realize that waitress was probably a plant. And as soon as he said that, I'm like, oh my God, wouldn't that be something? I mean, actually that put a smile on my face, because I'm honored that they would put a plant on me. That's great. That would be great if that were true. I'm honored. Bring them on, man. Bring on more plants. So, I've been going to, at first, I didn't go to the diner for a couple of days because I was really spooked by that. I was like, oh, no, I can't believe it. She made a huge scene. I mean, like, a scene, like, it was scripted. It was, like, a purposely loud and purposely embarrassing, and it was just ridiculous. And then my listener said, Mark, that was a plant. Come on. And I'm like, you know what? It might have been. It might have been. Wouldn't that be something?
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, Brian, do you know, besides your cousin, do you know anyone else who knew someone who died in 9/11? Or Justin?
I've had people say it to me, and honestly, every time I've asked them what their name was, it goes like this, Marcus. I'll be talking about, you know, all different facets of it, whether it's, you know, the plane was fake, or, you know, this was fake, or the victims were fake, and I'll get called all sorts of names, anti-American, you're so inconsiderate, yada, 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 my uncle died on 9/11, how could you say that, yada, 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 and then when I say what's their name, it's like I don't even get a response. It's like they don't even give me a name all the time. This has happened. It's funny that you say it because it's picked up a lot in the last few months. The last like 2 or 3 months, I've probably had 6 or 7 people say it to me, and only so far only one person even gave me a name.
Mm-hmm. And these people, did they just come out of the blue, out of the woodwork, or did you know them, or?
A couple of them I knew, but there were a couple that just came out of the woodwork.
Here's what's really interesting. My college roommate, his new wife, had a brother that allegedly died on 9/11. I mean, it never ends.
No, it never ends.
So here we go. You got someone on your chat right now whose cousin died. See that? It's like it never ends.
What was your cousin's name?
Right. Post your cousin's name. I think we're going to be here for a while. His name is Michael Berkeley, and his wife is, in fact, widowed and sons without a father.
Check it out.
Yeah, but no one died in 9/11.
I know that. I know that. The thing is, too, is so many people...
When people like this put that in there, they put some doubt in your mind. See, right now you're thinking... I know that, but maybe I might be wrong. See, that's what their job is. Their job is to swarm onto these calls. And it doesn't matter if just the two of you, you and Justin, are talking. They'll literally sick 8, 10, 20 people. I've had 30 people in my chat, and I knew they were all fake.
This person in there, I know the person that's making the claim.
Okay.
You know, real life and everything. So, as far as that goes, but I don't know. Well, I want to see if there's a few pictures of this person or what, or you know, if
there were never pictures. There's always one picture, right, or two pictures, and it's always the same look.
If they're in the Social Security Death Index, if you know, there's a lot of things. You know, maybe they killed a couple people. You know, that got in the way. I don't know. You know, but. How many names in there are in the Social Security Death Index out of there?
I actually have a file that shows that out of the SSDI for 9/11. First of all, Chris Kendall, a guy that I talk to a lot, he made a very interesting observation. And he said that when you look on the Social Security Death Index, on a day-by-day basis, they actually show you how many people died on an average day-by-day basis, that in the entire month of September, there was no uptick in the number of deaths in the SSDI.
No. There wasn't at all. The average didn't go up at all.
And, Justin, I don't know if you heard this, but I actually interviewed a woman who wasn't allowed to go to work that day. She was a survivor for obvious reasons. She wasn't allowed to go to work that day because when she tried to go to work an hour beforehand, they closed the building off for a drill.
Right. No, I've heard all of that. No, I you know, trust me. I totally believe that they were hollow, and I just wonder if maybe they didn't whack a couple people out just to throw it off. But I as far as died in that building, I don't believe anyone did. You know, as far,
no,
as
I don't
far
think
as
anyone
goes,
did either, but
no.
The information's still new enough where if somebody tells me, I'm going to look into it. You know what I mean?
Right. Of course. That's what I'm saying. You know, I don't know. But, you know,
yeah,
Tim, a lot of
that's
times,
what I do think. She's saying, does that mean he just, like, left his family? And I do think, and I have said this, I do think that some of the people, there were a few prominent people that probably did take a bigger payment than some of the actors, and they did relocate. I think that might even be a case with one of the pilots that lives near where I live, and I'm not sure about that, but I, you know, and I'm going to keep looking, but I do think that there could be, and I'm not saying a lot, I'm saying less than 100, you know, maybe 20, 30 people took a payment and relocated or something,
Everybody that took the witness money, I mean, not the witness, the victim compensation fund, probably.
Those would be the first people I would look at.
Yeah.
But I mean, how much can we really trust their list that they're giving us? You know what I'm saying? It's good enough to raise doubt and have us look at things, but just because something's on or not on the SSDI doesn't close the book, you know what I mean? Because they can do whatever they want with that list, you know what I mean? The fact that it has so many discrepancies actually, you know, makes screams fake, you know what I mean? It just screams it.
I just love when you type in Michael Berkeley 9/11 victim and you go to the first victim memorial, you'll find that there's only 5 comments. In a span of 1, 2, 3, in a span of less than 2 weeks. Isn't that something?
Yeah, it is, and I'm sure.
And one person said, my husband and I received her name as we entered the San Francisco Giants game on 9/11.
What does it say?
It says, my husband and I received your name as we entered the San Francisco Giants game on 9/11/11. We intend to do our best to remember you. You mattered to the people around you on 9/11, and now you matter to us. If you look at these victim memorials, they're written in such a soapy, sweet way that no one talks about
this. I've read a lot of them, man. They really are. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a break real quick. We're going to come back in 5 minutes, guys. But instead of playing a song or anything like that, we're going to play a video, you know, kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier with Coney, not to jump all over the place. But this is a girl, a teenage girl who is originally from Uganda, and her parents are still there. And she's telling us that it's all bullcrap. And she brings it up to her parents, and they say, you know, that, you know, he left this country 6 years ago. Why are you talking about this? We're just going to play this video real quick, audio for you guys to hear it, and we'll be back in 5 minutes. You're listening to Real News Radio with Brian Stavely, Justin Cook, and our guest tonight, Marcus Allen.
So I thought I would make this video in sequence to my dislike for this whole Stop Coney campaign. The reason why that I'm against it is because, well, I think it's a bunch of bullshit. Now, I am 100% Ugandan. Both of my parents were born and raised in Uganda. And I tend to visit there from time to time. Last time I went was in the summer of 2010. Now, when I went there, we had problems with the Al-Qaeda terrorist group, not the LRA terrorist group, which is the army group that Coney is the leader of. So, last night I just see that this is like a trending topic on Twitter, and like this video has like millions and millions of views, and it's about Uganda and Coney. So I asked my mom, and my mom laughs and goes, he died like 5 years ago. And I asked my dad, and he's laughing about it, and he goes, why are we talking about this? And the reason why is because Coney's army group formed 22 years ago when my parents still lived in Uganda. And they did their worst over 10 years ago. And they haven't struck again in 6 years. So why is this video being put out now? And the whole thing is to stop Coney, when we have the U.S. government and other national governments interfering, and they have been since 2008, and they still have yet to find Coney. And there's also rumors that Coney's dead and that he's not in Uganda. So if we have military groups looking for Kony in Uganda, but he's not in Uganda, what are we doing? And the video, which was great editing and like the quality and everything, like I was like, wow, this is very like high tech. I looked into the Invisible Children. They make over $13 million a year as a company, and 31% of their donations actually go to the causes. And the donations that Invisible Children would send would have to go to the Ugandan military to help fight off Kony. But if Kony is not in Uganda, the Ugandan military can't cross into other territories. So what would they do? And I always talk to my brother who's never left Uganda, and my grandmother, one of my grandmothers, both of them still live in Uganda as well. And every single time that I have been there, and I usually stay there for months at a time, not once do they ever mention Kony. So why are they making it seem like Uganda is one big hellhole because of Kony? Because it's not. So this video isn't really giving you the correct information. So before you go out and you're like, stop Kony 2012 and change your Facebook profile picture and make all these tweets about Kony, you should probably educate yourself. I mean, you shouldn't base it off of one YouTube video that a guy makes $90,000 a year for making these videos. He doesn't make it because he flies around the country and feels bad and decides he's gonna sit at home and make this fantastic video to hope to make the world a better place. No, he is making a great living off of this. I mean, it's great if you want to do send donations to anywhere for any causes, but you should probably do that through somewhere more trustworthy, like the Amnesty International. And then it's like, what happens to the other causes, like Darfur, that AIDS movement, the Red Movement, that kind of just went away? And then what's going to happen? How long is this going to last? Are we going to care about Kony until we actually get him? Or is it going to take something else to go on? Because there is something else going on right now. And you would know if you watch the news. I mean, I'm not judging you if you don't watch the news, but I mean, you wouldn't know unless you really watch the news or someone who watches the news tells you, which is Syria. And what's going on in Syria is way more extreme than what's going on, or what has went on, excuse me, when Kony was striking.
I can't agree with that, but we're almost
So
done, guys.
I just really want people to educate themselves. Like, I think it's great to become aware of things, but this is something that's being blown out of proportion. And the people who are doing it and who started it are making a lot of money off of this, and a lot of money off of us. So yeah, just like educate yourself. Woo, but go Africa. I mean, I love Uganda. It's a beautiful place. If you want to go visit it, it's fun. But go for the right reasons. Thank you.
Oh, my mic was off. I'm sorry. Guys, we're back. Are you guys there?
I'm here.
Okay, Justin?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, yeah, I was talking. I was muted for a second. Like I was saying, I had my thing muted. That's a pretty good video right there. I think if you find anybody that's kind of fallen into that trap, you share this with them, and it pretty much explains the whole situation. It's all just a bunch of warmongering. That's all it is. It's all more warmongering, getting people to justify another war. It's like another angle, kind of like 9/11 was this whole terrorism thing, and they put this fear of terrorism in you all the time, and they can use terrorism as a reason to attack everybody. And now they're using, I mean, I guess you could call this terrorism, but I mean, murders, whatever you want to call it, they're using this whole Well, they're using your emotions, really, more than the fear, because you're not over there, but they're using your emotions for these kids. They show like thousands of kids all bunked up together, and they all tell you how they're there to escape from Coney so he doesn't kill them and make them soldiers and all this other nonsense. What, Marcus, before you came on tonight, was there anything, before we get into our next subject, was there anything you wanted to talk about specifically? Anything you wanted to get into?
Oh, as you know, Brian, I can talk about anything A to Z, man.
What was on your mind in the last, you know, couple days?
I think the thing, and I've mentioned this a couple times over the last couple weeks, I don't know if you've heard about this, the movie Capricorn 1, did you hear me talking about that?
I did, but I don't know if Justin has, and I know our listeners haven't, so what about it?
If you look into the movie 1977, starring Elliot Gould, O.J. Simpson, and two other well-known actors, the movie's called Capricorn 1. And when I did some digging to find out who funded Capricorn 1, which, by the way, is a movie, a fictitious movie, on how NASA faked the Mars landing, not the moon landing, but the Mars landing, which, of course, has the exact same script as them faking the moon landing, you find out that NASA funded the movie. Now, I always knew that if you're going to have controlled opposition, you know, if you want to lead people, you give them the controlled leaders. And I always knew that if you're going to do a conspiracy, that you put out a conspiracy theory to fool the masses. But even with that said, that just absolutely still continues to blow my mind that NASA is the entity that put out the conspiracy theory that they faked the moon landing.
Yeah, that is crazy.
And each year, I always say to myself, each year that I've been looking into stuff, I say, you know, there's always one, every year I can count like clockwork, someone revealing something to me that just makes me go, oh my God. The first jaw dropper for me was actually the movie Pallywood.
And actually,
my father sent me that movie, and my father at the time was not into this stuff at all. But he knew I was into this stuff. He goes, what do you think about this? And for those who have not seen the movie Pallywood, it's a must-see YouTube video. If you type in Pallywood, P as in Paul, A-L-L-Y-W-O-O-D, much like Hollywood, it shows how 60 Minutes faked their coverage of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, how they literally hired actors to make it look like, again, they were competitive and they were fighting against each other, and they were actors. And my favorite, absolute hands-down favorite part of the movie or the video Pallywood is, in fact, they show this twice, two different scenes, where there's a dead guy on the gurney, and of course they always parade the dead guys through the streets, which is always faked. But this is proof of it being faked. And the guy fell off the gurney, and he jumped up, dusted himself off, and jumped back on the gurney and continued on. One time it happened in front of a crowd of people, and the people who were around him falling off, they scattered like cockroaches because they were like, oh my God, he's alive. And it was pretty funny to watch that. But, I mean, that just really nailed home for me that the news is literally a script, and it's actors.
Yeah, that was good. I was really glad you showed me that. I've been showing everybody. Justin, you've seen it now, right?
The yes.
Hollywood
yep.
one. What that shows you, if anything, Marcus, is how can this place be what we're told it is if they're allowed, if they can stage this? How could they ever stage this scene on the Gaza Strip if the Gaza Strip is as crazy as they tell us? Do they call a timeout? I mean, seriously.
No.
It's impossible. Just think about it. It's not logical. It's not logical that that place could be what we're told it is.
No. Nope.
Not after you see this. They actually have Israelis and Palestinians just walking around together. They have them basically they 60-minute staged it, so it looks like there's a, I don't know if it's an Israeli, let's say, shooting at the Palestinian, and he's shooting into a warehouse, right? But the warehouse is empty. When you see the raw footage, you see that the warehouse is empty. Then you see all these guys just crossing back and forth. People are getting shot, and the ambulances are pulling up, like, as they're hitting the ground.
Right, and I think that's a very important fact to repeat, which is they show, even if you watch the 60 Minutes coverage, they'll show a guy get shot in the leg, he grabs for his leg, and literally less than not even a second later, an ambulance arrives on the scene.
Literally a second. It's crazy. I've been showing people that, and one guy I know that we his name's Mike Hall. We do shows with him sometimes. And he said he talked to somebody not too long ago, and she was from over there, and she said that they babysit each other's children, the Israelis and the Palestinians.
Right.
There's not even anything going on.
You know,
who the hell is ever going to know, you know?
Here's another thing that actually woke me up to all this. If you type in Iran into Google, Iran peace train. Now, this video has been deleted. Iran peace train. Peace train is one word.
Uh-huh.
See if it's deleted on your end. I know on my end it was deleted. And the first one that comes up is lucasgray.com. Do you see that?
Hold on, Mateo. Yep, I see that.
If you click on that link, does a slideshow pop up?
Let's see. Waiting for it to load. I got so many things open on the computer to run this radio show. It's just taking a minute to load.
Oh, it is loading?
It's just right now it's totally blank.
Right. They took it down. But basically, you know, we're given this idea that Iraq and Iran and, you know, Palestine, it's rubble, it's black and white, it's ugly, it's war-torn, et cetera, et cetera. But now, if you now go to Google Images and type in something like beautiful Iran.
Oh yeah, I've seen some of the pictures of it. It's unbelievable.
It's the most beautiful place on earth.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then I was like, holy crap. I mean, because if you think about it, on the news, they always show it, it's always in black and white. It looks like war-torn rubble and, you know, people hurling rocks at each other. And this place, if you ask any professional skier, I know one.
Yeah.
And I said, where's the best place to ski? I'll say Iran.
Really?
They have the best skiing in Iran. And it's very Americanized.
Yeah, I've heard
that,
too.
It's very advanced. It's very advanced. And the other thing, too, is people think it's all just, you know, one religion, and it's not true. Different religions live there together fine.
They have the highest Jewish population in the Middle East besides Israel.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
They also have some of the best software programmers, too. I have one piece of software I have, which is open source software that just rocks, and the guys from Iran. So the punchline here is that, I mean, literally everything, when they tell me, look this way, you know, things are scary, you know, eggs are bad for you, wine's good for you. You know, when they tell you to do something, I do the exact opposite. If you go to, like, Quack Watch, which is supposedly this American Medical Association newsletter, which will tell you who the quacks are, you know, the goofy doctors, if they're on their list, I want to go visit these people and get treated by these people.
Yeah, because everything's asked backwards, especially when it comes to your health and the FDA and the USDA and the whole medical system and all that. I mean, everything they tell you is backwards. Everything.
If they tell me that gas is going to, you know, where it's going to break through the $5 mark, I know to go buy more gas because it's gonna start to come down, and that's exactly what's happening. There's you know who Jim Cramer is?
No, Justin, do you know?
I've heard of him.
He's a financial guru on CNBC.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah, yep. No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
He actually coded his calls on a form called Godlike Productions. His username there was Eat, EAT. And what he would do is at a quarter of 11 in the afternoon, he would say something like, the Dow's going to plunge. And I finally figured out this pattern. And literally all but one time, every time he said the Dow was going to go one direction, it went exactly the opposite direction. And then I found out it was Jim Cramer, who was putting out a code to some of the people in the know. Isn't that something?
Wow. You know, Marcus, I had a question for you. How do you feel about, you know, I'm sure you've seen a little bit about Ron Paul and everything and how they, you know, I wrote a blog about how it seems like the elite are heading for a gold standard, and yet this is pretty much the same thing that Ron Paul wants. I don't know. Have you heard anything about that, or, you know, what are your thoughts on that as far as that goes? Do you think they're going to actually put him in to be the next puppet or what?
Well, if you listen back, if I caught a lot of hell about this, but if you listen back to my audios in 2008, at the time I was in the prediction business, I no longer do predictions. I said that Ron Paul would be the next president back in 2008. And if anyone has their brain in good shape, you'll remember that he came in second. A lot of people didn't know that. Did you know he came in second?
I thought he actually dropped out of the race and kept all the money.
No.
Okay.
No, he came in second.
Over McCain in 2008? Really?
He came in second for the Republican Party.
Oh, no. Okay, for the Republican Party. Okay, all right, sorry. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. I thought you were saying for the total election at the end. Right, because that makes what you're saying is in the primaries and whatnot. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think I started saying in around 2010, and I, you know, my whole theory on it has just been that, you know, the Jonestown characters and whatnot have been leading us down this path for so long. It's almost like they're the mainstream media now, and it's almost like they're getting ready to go and support the next president, who's going to be, you know, a puppet. And, you know, a lot of the things is he's pushing for a gold standard, or as he calls it, sound money. And you know, there's just a lot of dirt out there on Mises and being a Rothschild, you know, being funded by the Rockefellers, and, you know, the whole Austrian School of Economics being funded by, you know, them. And, you know, it's just funny because at the same time, you know, Alex Jones exposed the PNAC document, but he didn't expose the other one written by Lewis Litterman, who also wrote a book with Ron Paul. So, I mean, right. It's interesting how it's going to, you know, going forward, how it's going to, you know, make us even worse off economically. Yet so many people in the so-called truth movement are cheering this guy on. And it doesn't matter. They're all puppets. None of them actually do anything. They just take orders. But, you know, as far as that goes, I don't know. That's just the way I think we're headed. But hey, that's you noticed it before me. Then 2008, I started saying it around 2010. So,
you want to see the most amazing video ever? You got to go to the go to Google and type in Ron Paul space Mort Downey Junior.
I saw it. I've seen it. He's going nuts. Going nuts, arguing with somebody in the crowd, right?
Right, but when I was showing this video to my wife, I said, "Hun, take a look at this video from 25 years ago." At the time, it was 25 years beforehand. She goes, "Why? Oh, is that the president?" She goes, "Oh, is that the president?" Ron Paul looks exactly like George Bush.
He's probably a cousin.
That's correct. And by the way, my buddy Chris Kendall called to find out if his wife is truly an Eastern Star Mason, and he called the lodge.
Yep.
And the woman confirmed it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's at the Veloza County or whatever it is. Yeah, she's in it. His daughters were rainbow girls.
Right.
He also was in a what you would call an illuminated fraternity in college. Most likely, you know, your wife and your daughters are not going to be Masons without you being a Mason. Your father, your grandfather.
Yeah, it wouldn't make any sense.
If it walks like
in the
duck,
house, is going to be two Masons and then two that aren't. One that
right.
isn't.
Well, no. If you go to Eastern, if you go to EasternStar.org right now, it will tell you the only way to become an Eastern Star Mason is that your husband must be a Mason.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that. Most of the people that support him don't know the first thing about him. And here's the thing. It's almost like – and this isn't the case for everyone. So don't everybody out there that's a Ron Paul supporter think I'm talking about you if you actually look into what the guy's about. But most of the people out there just got the idea from somebody else like Alex Jones or RT or Jace, you know, any of these alternative media people all preaching Ron Paul, Adam
Jeff
Kokesh,
Lentz,
all these people,
you know,
right? Yeah, so most of these people, they just do it by habit, and they think he's the guy. And if you actually look into what this guy stands for, okay, and we've done a show on this before, but I'm just going to get into it real quick. Everybody thinks he's this, you know, this beacon of hope and this liberty. He's all about our freedom and our liberty. And I found out some things about him that absolutely contradict his beliefs or his supposed beliefs, what he portrays on TV. And, you know, this guy is supposedly, you know, Mr. Liberty, Mr. Freedom, Mr. – you know, I've seen a video on him, okay, and I'll put the video up after for everybody. There's a video of him in New Hampshire, and he's talking about the NDAA, and he's talking about SOPA, and he's, like, talking at the top of his lungs, and if I get elected, I'm going to repeal SOPA. I'm going to end the NDAA. This thing is so unconstitutional, yada, 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 yada. And then in December, do you know that Ron Paul did not even show up to vote against the NDAA? Ron Paul, Mr. Liberty, and his supporters, when I bring this up, you know what they say? They say, oh, he's been busy campaigning. So that's the one vote that you don't just take a day to go to. You can't stop in Washington. You're not on the East Coast. I mean, come on.
And not for nothing, that would have been a great photo op for him to show up there.
Dude,
and
that's
say,
the one he's got to show up, exactly. Even if it's going to be 99-1, right?
Yep.
Doesn't he have to show up for that?
Symbolically, he's got to show up and
say
why the bill is wrong, and he's got to totally put it out there. But that's the thing. Just like everything else, he dances around the issues.
And
as here's another quick thing I want to get into. It's just the fact that, like I said before, we've talked about this many times, but the Bernankes of the world are just puppets. They can be easily replaced. Until he actually talks about the families involved with the Federal Reserve, the ones that are going to be behind the next system of currency, he's no better than, you know, the other puppets running. And that's the thing. You know, he hasn't exposed, you know, much more than anyone of us can expose by, you know, going to Google. And, you know, and here's the thing. If anyone at that point, you know, is still in the government by now, they've purged so many, you know, they've taken out or blackmailed them or, you know, if he's still left and still in these phony GOP debates, you know, more than likely it's all staged and the guy's just there, you know.
Here's the thing. He knows it's all staged and he's getting up there lying to you. So why are you going to support him? I mean, without even getting into all the other issues, it's staged. Why are you going to support? Why are you even going to buy into it? And the other thing I was talking about with the SOPA, you know, he says he's going to end SOPA. Do you guys know that he actually went out of the way to write an email to all of his Texas supporters to reelect Lamar Smith for Congress or House, whatever the hell he runs for down there in Texas? He actually emailed all his supporters and asked them to reelect this guy. Now, the reason that's a big deal, and obviously these guys are surrounded by sharks. They got to deal with all types of crooked people, okay? But you don't have to go to bat for somebody and email your supporters to vote for him when the guy is the guy that wrote SOPA. This is the guy that wrote SOPA. And Ron Paul's against censorship, and he's against SOPA, but you want us to vote in the guy that wrote it? And this guy is a big supporter of the Patriot Act and all the wars that we've been in, and he wants you to go down and vote for this guy? I mean, doesn't that rub you the wrong way if you're a Ron Paul supporter? I don't get it. I don't know how people can just look past that. I'm upset that we have to even spend this time on it, honestly, because the whole thing's staged. The whole thing's fake. You have all these people, all these 9/11 truthers or whatever you want to call all these people, that for the last 10 years
and he denies 9/11 truth.
Yeah, he doesn't even go to bat for them. And for the last 10 years, what have they been saying? George Bush this, blew up the towers, Republicans this, Republicans that, two-party system this, two-party system that. Now they're going to go down to the primaries, they're going to register to be Republican, to go vote for a guy that's never gone to bat for them? It blows my mind. Blows my mind. That's what he's there for. He's there for all those people that are supposedly awake, but they're not really awake. And he's their hero. They have a guy for everybody. That's what they do. They have a guy for everybody to buy into. Everybody feels part of the election. They feel part of the process. Like they their vote mattered. Your vote doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, here's the deal. For your votes don't count. These people have been picked at least 10 years ahead of time. As far as it goes. Hey, if you lean socialist, hey, they have Bernie Sanders, a guy you can look up to. If you're just a regular leftist that realizes Obama's a sham, well, hey, there's always hope in Dennis Kucinich. You know, if same thing. If you're a conservative, then hey, you got Ron Paul. You know, and that's just what they do. They put you people in these boxes, and you know you can, and once you get in them, you know, it's just like the Occupy movement. It's just the whole thing. You know, if you can't see that. When you have thousands of people that have never, you know, gotten off their ass for anything, all of a sudden going and protesting and don't even know what they're protesting about, you know, it's just insane. The fact that too, I mean, I'm not going to get into it now. We've gotten into it. But, you know, it was staged over a year in advance. The thing was, you know, even the movies that came out, Michael Moore's movie, Wall Street is just a symptom. The Federal Reserve is just a symptom. The whole fact of the matter is that, you know, these things are just until we get the elite out of the way, the mainstream pullers, you know, they're just going to continue to rob and pillage and put in new faces and new institutions. So until we get rid of the real people behind the scenes, we're in trouble. That's how I look at it.
Marcus, what about you? What's your whole?